Welcome to the Rich the Architect podcast, where I speak not only about architecture, but also the business of owning your own firm, along with other personal hobbies or interests I have. And now, introducing Rich the Architect. All right, we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're live. Hey, everybody. This is Rich Sanford. This is Rich the Architect, episode 6. And today I actually have a guest, James Patrick. He has two companies, right?
Yeah.
We have...
nonprofit, for-profit.
Yeah, nonprofit and for-profit. So the nonprofit is...
Project Refit.
Project Refit. And then the
for-profit is First Responders Live.
Yeah.
Yep.
So James and I, we met actually probably... January?
Yeah,
I
think something like that.
Yeah, January. He actually has his own podcast, Future Podcast, yep. Featuring businesses here in South Jersey. And I was a guest of his.
Yep.
So I figured I reached out to him. I want to start having guests here. So I figured he'd be a perfect guy to have as a guest today. So really, James, I figured let's just cover both your projects, whichever one you want to go for first.
Yeah.
Let us know about it.
So... I guess where to start, is first off, the First Responders Live is a project, and that's the for-profit, and that's a project that myself and a couple other guys are building currently, and we're actually working with Camden County Police Department. What we're trying to do is help police get in touch and build relationships better with residents, with businesses, and with their... residents and businesses and with them, right? So between first responders, residents and businesses, we're trying to build better relationships, bottom line.
Right.
It's a cloud platform. It's a live streaming platform. But even more than that, we're also going to be coming up with a layout or a strategy for social media, right? Mm-hmm. What kind of content to create.
Right.
Because, it's very difficult, I think, right now for residents and for first responders to get along in many areas.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot of tension, and there's where there is a problem and complications, there is an opportunity to help.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is exactly what we're trying to do with First Responders Live.
Mm-hmm.
With Project Refit, it's a bit of a passion project. It's a nonprofit. And Project Refit, what we did is we built a video chat platform where veterans can connect with one another.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, I think it's the messages that we put out are what are actually getting a lot of traction. I guess it's the social media marketing and the content that we create is really helping out.
Yeah.
We have a future goal where we're actually working on a Google Chrome plugin right now. A couple of interns are helping us build that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Google Chrome plugin is actually the next step towards an iteration where we're going to try to create a video gaming platform where they can live stream video games to one another, only veteran to veteran.
Okay.
And eventually families of veterans as well to talk to one another and kind of hang out because mm-hmm. they get each other. And from there, I would like to put up information from like the VA or who's your local VSO, which is a veteran service officer, and just get content to them, right? And just tell and inform them, what options they have, places they can go, because that's actually what's missing right now with a lot of, issues that you see with, like, at least with suicide and such. People aren't reaching out to individuals that get it, that don't understand them, So we're trying to change the script in a very indirect, direct way.
Okay.
Right? So indirectly, because it'll be where you can go to live stream, video games that you're playing, and the reason why I even came up with that idea, and myself and Dan is a co-founder of Project Refit.
I want to make sure my dog's not...
He's all right.
Yeah.
He's a good boy. Good girl. Sorry. The reason why we came up with that is because Dan and I were talking one night about how, they'd go out on missions when they were over in Afghanistan or Iraq.
Yeah.
And then they'd come back to the tent and they'd compounds, to their base, and they would either work out or play video games or do both, right? And then they go to sleep, wake up, and do it all over again, or go to guard duty, whatever they had to do.
Right.
But they would always have time to lift and play video games.
Yeah.
So it was a great way for them to bond and to decompress and relax, right?
Yeah, and does that give them, I guess, in some ways, if they're dealing with kind of like, the transition back into civilian life, does that help? Like, it's actually, it seems to me like it's a bit of normalcy.
Yeah.
That they can have.
That they can attach to while they're in and out. Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's a great way of looking at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of the transition, one of the things that we're trying to do right now, I have a couple of meetings mm-hmm. that I set up, and I have to follow up with this woman. I spoke with her this week. I'm not going to say any names or anything like that because yeah. I didn't ask her. But bottom line is that we were talking about maybe having our video chat platform where vets can go on and get interviewed to get jobs, mm-hmm. right? And like maybe remote jobs or whatever, see what's available to them. Mm-hmm. That's actually something that a mentor of mine also, you know, helped out with and gave me that idea previous. And I'm kind of just like pursuing it now mm-hmm. Because we have the platform up and running and we're getting good traction in terms of growing the page and people are hearing about us and, you know, it's pretty cool. So, yeah. I mean, it is a way of having normalcy for sure.
Uh-huh. Now, is there a way with Project Refit where it's more, I'm just going to say soldier to soldier interaction.
Vet to vet.
Vet to vet.
Yep.
Now, is there either one, can they interact with potentially like
mental health professionals and such?
Going to say like the public, but can they also interact with anybody who might be, you know, out in, you know, in the Middle East or you know, so that's deployed somewhere?
That's a great question. I mean, it is the internet, so if you can access it, you can access from anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like if you're on base, you'd be able to access our platform.
Yeah.
Will it be widely distributed to those guys? I don't know. I mean, like we're going to try mm-hmm. to market it to everyone. And one of the strategies we have with the Google Chrome plugin is that it'll give easier access to guys just to talk, text, just write to each other, like almost like a chat forum, right? Uh-huh. Instead of a quick Google Chrome plugin, they can get it from anywhere, no matter what website they're on. Yeah. They can always access somebody, right? Yeah. To talk, bullshit, whatever they want to do, you know uh-huh. what I mean? So it doesn't have to be about, hey, I'm struggling. It can be, hey, here's a funny meme. Let's laugh at this together,
sure, yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
You know, and they were going to be putting in different, like, categories in there, too. Like, if you're Army, Navy, Marine, Navy, you know, Marine, punch me in the face for that. Uh-huh. We will have definitely a different channel for them and for 11 Bravo, which is infantry, and Special Forces units, and uh-huh. Naval Special Warfares, and Air Force Special Warfare. You know, all of them, all uh-huh. the different units and pilots, whatever it may be. So they can kind of connect with, you know, guys that understand them best, you know, because they had similar experiences. It's very important. Mm-hmm. So maybe it could be that next step towards getting some help. You know, and mental health is a crisis.
Sure.
Right now, actually. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of people, not just veterans, who are struggling. And, mm-hmm. you know, I thought I'd go with the veteran side simply because when I say simply, because this what I'm about to say isn't like a little thing,
sure,
you know.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, lowering it or anything like that, but my phone has blown up twice, so I mean, like, I get it, you know. Like, I mean, I don't get what it's like to be blown up, but I get that could cause issues or problems. Or
blown up twice and survived.
Okay. And that Dan Lombard, that's our co-founder,
okay,
blown up twice,
okay.
Lay that in there, right?
Uh-huh.
He's a tough cookie. He's funny, he's nice, he's a good guy. You know, but he's getting himself help. He's actually, I think what he's doing is something a lot of guys can't do. He was able to admit, you know, to like, hey, I think I need help legitimately.
Sure.
You know, like, I don't want to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't think it's that big of a deal. He would never say it is. I mean, I'm saying it for him. So that's another thing I want to kind of lay out there too. I mean, mm-hmm. like, this isn't him. This is me speaking about it. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, I mean, you say the vets, but I mean, that's just that can be even a male thing, just in general.
Yeah.
You know, too. Like, I think all males, we're all guilty of, like, mm-hmm. you know, not asking for help when we should be asking for it.
Yeah. I think so. I think that's a problem, right?
Uh-huh.
Even with women too, though. And, you know, one of the things with, being in the military, I mean, it's not just combat related.
Yeah.
You know, PTSD is not just combat related. You can get PTSD from anything. And, you know, it could be a guy who just was on a ship or in a sub for months at a time.
Yeah.
And he has PTSD from the enclosure. He became claustrophobic because of it. And now mm-hmm. he gets triggered when he's like real tight and he can't really move too well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he remembers being in the sub for so long. You know, something like as small as that, or rape, right? I mean, like, it could be rape.
Yeah.
Where someone who was raped in the military, and, like, you know, whatever it may be, it's either male dominance thing or a female dominance thing, whatever it may be. I mean, that's real too, right?
Yeah,
that's not just a civilian or resident, or civilian, I should stick with, problem.
Yeah.
Right? That happens everywhere. It's a human problem, but it's just that this is the group that Project Reef focuses on. So.
Right, right. So, and are there equivalent? I mean, I would assume there's probably similar on the civilian side, similar programs.
Oh,
or
phenomenal!
Like that.
Phenomenal programs. I mean,
yeah.
There's this one guy. I am so badly trying to get. We talked on the phone one time, and I want to get my product and my platform into his hands so bad. The guy's amazing. He has what's called Safe Call Now or Armor Up. I would check those out. Whoever's watching, if anybody, right now. I think we got one, two, maybe. Hey, what's up,
yeah,
everyone?
Yeah, looks like two, yeah. Can't see who it is from here.
Look it up right now, right? Like, where this guy is helping first responders and veterans as well. I actually share his posts on LinkedIn and such. Like, his name is Sean Riley, and he is awesome. I mean, the guy is just – he's an ex-cop. He's a badass. He's like, when I say badass, I mean, like, the dude's real.
Yeah.
He's like, look, you're struggling. You're hurting. He's like, let's be real here. You know, like, you can die from this, right? Because you will take your own life from this, right? Or you'll hurt someone because of the pain you feel, the stresses you went through. So I think that it takes a certain kind of person to push someone to get to the point where they're like, I need to make a change.
Yeah.
Right. So this guy, he's one of those people. He's that kind of person. So I would love to have him and his crew, his nonprofit, you know, utilize our platform so that they can have follow up calls with people. And he's just one. There's another one out there. It's called One Hour, I think it's called, or Give an Hour. Might be Give an Hour. And you can get in touch with a mental health professional. Right. So the mental health professional, you just look him up near you and type in location, call him up, set a schedule like, hey, I'm calling you from Give an Hour or Donate an Hour, or whatever it is. Look it up. It's cool.
Yeah.
One of those things.
Yeah.
And they'll give you an hour. They'll look for a time on their schedule where they can donate an hour to you.
OK.
So it's really cool. That's another good one. And vets can use that, too. But yeah. So, I mean, it's. I'm not selfish in terms of, like, I want people to just use my product, my platform. I don't care what you use.
Right?
Just get help. You know, like, this is just my way of trying to help.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's, I've always been the kind of person that if I see that there needs to be a change, I don't wait around for someone to just do it. If I think there's something broken or wrong, I try to actively do it
and
fix it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just something in my personality, you know? I don't know. But, yeah, that's just that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, now let's move over to First Responders Live. Because I think there's a little bit – obviously I know a little bit about it.
Yeah.
I think Project Refit, there's a little bit of Project Refit in there,
you know,
as well. I mean,
that's
at least
funny.
Looking on the surface.
Yeah. I will tell you right now what the similarities are. So I studied, I went to Columbia University, a little bit of background. I went to Columbia University, I went to Stockton University, and I studied social conflict theory, and I studied a lot of business, and I studied a lot of criminal justice, right? Or criminology. So all of that is based around behavioral sciences, I guess you could say. And also how behavioral sciences can connect directly into affecting society. And how society works, right? Almost like a political science in a way. And how economics even ties into all of that too, but I'm not going to get too deep or whatever. So, First Responders Live, the idea of it actually spawned from a product that the same guys who are helping me build First Responders Live that we were building up before. We had this mission because we saw this data that we noticed there was a trend. It's called intractable conflict.
Okay.
That is a study that I was looking at, this like theory I was looking at, where you can actually literally map 10 to 11 years prior to a huge incident or like a social change. There was an event that happened that sparked that change.
Okay.
Right. So, for instance, four or 5 years ago when I was studying this, I can't remember the exact time. I think it was like 4 years ago. I looked at some data that was talking about which happened four or five years prior to that, was about the how I think it was Israel just made some major move. I forget what it was, but it's just like in my mind, I was like, oh my God, this something's going to happen then in the next few years that I have to get on the bandwagon for helping society out in general, because I knew how connected and attached Israel was to the United States, and the United States was connected to them. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was this whole thing that occurred, whatever. Oh, you know what it was? Arab Spring. That's what it was. And okay. That wasn't a few years ago. Arab Spring happened like in 2000, like 7 or 8 or something like that. Yeah.
Right.
It was it was right around 2007 or 8. So I knew that in the next few years, next 4 or 5 years, it would be the something was going to happen. And uh-huh. Here we go. We're at Trump, you know? I mean, like that was big. That's a big deal. I'm not saying that's directly connected at all, but I knew something was coming. And I also noticed that relationships within communities and such was going to get really weird because of social media,
uh-huh.
right? So social media caused this, allowed what we know as the Arab Spring to be super successful, uh-huh. right? Like they overthrew an entire government using social media.
Right.
It's incredible,
uh-huh.
right? So like the voice of the people was becoming more prominent, so and powerful. So I noticed that government institutions, even ones that are trying to do good and do right, because government is made up of the same people. Mm-hmm. We're all people.
Yeah.
So I knew that, you know, in the United States, if there was going to be some kind of semblance of peace and maybe even moving forward and like repairing, you know, relationships and changing the script on like how, you know, people communicate, I knew there was going to be something connected to police. I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
I just like I felt it.
Yeah.
And in society alone. So we created a product where we're going to connect, you know, the communities a little bit better to talk about issues locally and like, you know, maybe bring people together at like more at like government events, or maybe change the script around government events and such to really start conversation. Right. So, that worked out okay. But we noticed that we weren't really, I tried actually doing that by leveraging social media influencers
mm-hmm.
and getting social media influencers to try to make a change within their own, cause they have a great following, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So like use social media influencers to give them a voice, a little bit bigger of a voice to make changes locally.
Yeah.
Didn't work out. So, I was like, I know that there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to quit. I'm kind of crazy. I'm persistent, I guess you could say.
You're a business owner crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm a persistent person. So I was, I took a step back and I went back to my roots and I was like, I need to help out the guys and girls or the women and men who are already making a change locally. And that's a lot of the first responders out there, right?
Yeah.
They're totally making changes every single day.
Yeah.
Are all of them good? Nah, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Does that matter? No, it shouldn't stop us from creating better relationships with those people, because they're the ones that we call up. They're the ones that are out there every day, know everything that's happening, you know, locally more than anyone, probably,
uh-huh.
except for politicians that are part of the government, too. But I wanted to help them communicate better. So that's what we created First Responders Live. And basically it's a video platform, just like Project Refit, meaning it's just video.
Yeah.
That's the only similarity, really. But the changing the script part is also similar, I guess, because we're trying to change the script on PTSD. We're trying to change the script locally on connecting people, especially to the first responders, and like give first responders a voice to, you know, have a, I guess you could say, a real conversation with residents. The residents get to know them.
Yeah.
And live stream from their vehicles, right? So we actually have a guy out in Logan, Ohio, who's I consider him an advisor. The guy's been incredible. His name is Jason Gadram.
Mm-hmm.
He has a Facebook page called Policing for Our Community, where he live streams from his vehicle
mm-hmm.
to residents and like shows them what's happening and lets them ask him questions. And you know, the residents get to watch him. And but there's people from all around the world that watch him right now. I mean, the guy's like 40,000 plus likes on his page.
Yeah.
He actually doesn't like that much management that comes along with that. That's uh-huh. a lot of work. It's a full-time job.
Yeah.
So that's where we kind of like, we'll take over that, you know, for them on our platform, and we'll be able to organize it better. I guess you could say better curate conversation. It's just a message for Facebook. It was really... It showed that there is something there with having first responders live stream from their vehicle to residents while they're doing their job, mm-hmm. right? Where they can answer questions, and it doesn't have to be all the time. It can be for 5 minutes during their shift where they just go live real quick,
yeah, yeah.
talk to residents, have them ask questions.
And it's yeah. not, just to be clear, it's not a body cam or anything. Nope, it's not a body cam. It's camera. Like actually probably set up like what we have here with yep. the Facebook Live. They yep. have a device sitting in their car, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's filming them,
yep.
not filming their... what they see
them
type yep. thing. Yeah.
Well, you can do it. So he does flip it so you yeah. can see outside the car. I don't recommend that personally. Mm-hmm. But if they want to do that, sure. Because actually there's law around it where it says that anything that happens within a police vehicle is legal for the public to know. The public can know anything that's happening there.
Right.
There's no expectancy of privacy
yeah.
at all.
Yeah. It's a public. It's a public position, so right. that's a public, yeah, yeah.
And that's a public vehicle
yeah, yeah.
owned by the public, owned by residents. They have every right to know what's happening.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why there's speakers in there, there's body cameras, there's dashboard cameras, all of that, right? Yeah. So we want to allow them to control that camera, though, to go live whenever they want, if they want to give a quick update on what just happened. Like I saw one of my favorite updates I saw with up in Logan, Ohio. There was a person that just, this is not, again, I'm about to say, it's not like a good thing that happened, but I like the use of it. There's someone drove through a building. They drove through like a store and you know, they gave the aftermath. Like the officer drove by and was like, hey, this is what just happened. Just wanted to give you guys a quick update.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and showed the residents, and people were asking him questions like, whoa, what happened there? Blah, blah. He's like, all right, so this is what happened, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And told them what he could, you know,
yeah, yeah.
told them what he could, and that was it. And it was yeah. good. They got the update. They knew where it was and what happened, uh-huh. blah, blah, blah. So it was great. It was interaction. They know, yeah, I know yeah. Jason.
Uh-huh.
better than any officer that's local yeah. around me.
I find it funny because like here in Williamstown, and I'm yep. sure a lot of towns have it. I mean, we're on Facebook right now. There's like different groups, like little town talk pages.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably sure. very similar. It's like anytime somebody hears a siren.
They're like, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah, what's going on? And yeah. that's like, you know, like that's a perfect opportunity.
It's literally perfect.
Yeah. yeah, yeah.
And that's what we're trying to create there too, is that kind of, and I want to actually create a distinction that I just mentioned that kind of separates us from anyone else, because there's a product out there called like Nixle, and they give text updates. There's another one called Mobile PD or whatever, and they give text updates to residents about what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
What we're doing is we're not just having a message from the department to you. We're having it from Rich.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Rich, the patrolman,
uh-huh.
just created a video, and I can see him. I know who he is.
Yep.
Right? That's huge, right? So I was talking to a friend of mine who is also, I would consider him a mentor now in a way. I can go to him basically for anything. The guy is phenomenal. His name is Tyler. And I feel comfortable saying his name. I don't think he'd care. So, but Tyler's great. Tyler and I were sitting down one day. We're talking about my business, about the product, about First Responders Live, how we're going to be able to move it forward. You know, maybe we have to pull the reins back a little bit, slow it down, kind of like really figure out what's needed to get this thing going. And he's like, when I was telling about it, he's like, man, this is powerful. He's mm-hmm. like, that's like in the 50s when Officer Bob knew John in the car
sure.
yep. and like, mm-hmm. hey, John, what are you doing?
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, I'm sorry, Bob. I just, you know, that conversation is completely different than what we see today.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So today there is no conversation. It's, hey, you just beat your wife or you're driving drunk and you need to go. Whatever it was,
uh-huh.
instead of like, John, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, I don't know. I slipped. Like, I made a mistake. It's like, look, man, you're going away, but you need to come with me. Like, I don't want to hurt. It's like, all right, dude, I don't want to get hurt either. Like, I'll come with you.
Right, right.
I messed up.
Yeah.
So here's a great, and I don't mean that. I actually have a story that comes from Jason. I wrote a blog about it. It's incredible. It shows the power of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So Jason went to, I'm like, it's long story short. Went for an arrest. Arrested the guy. It was easy.
Mm-hmm.
The guy just put his hands behind his back, did his thing, put him in the car. As he was walking him to the car, though, the guy turned to Jason and was like, hey, man, I just want to let you know that I was thinking of running, but I didn't because I know you.
Uh-huh.
Through his live stream, he knew him
oh, okay.
and trusted Jason.
Uh-huh.
Trusted him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Think about that. That potentially saved a life.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Yeah.
Game changing.
Oh, sure.
That could change society as we know it.
Yeah, I have to relate a little bit of a
please
a story that I have.
Yeah.
So in my years ago.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of like the other side of the coin too,
okay,
in a way. When my wife and I first got married, we lived in Philadelphia. Now, we had a house that I would say we were trailblazing.
Okay.
We had drug dealers on our stoop. I had a motorcycle club next door. It was just like, it was crazy town. And we only lasted for about a year and a half.
Right.
So when we
like
first
moved. That.
What?
We only lasted for a year and a half.
We would have been longer, but we ended up selling the house. It was
sure.
near Northern Liberties in Philly.
Okay.
It wasn't technically.
Beautiful area now.
Yeah, yeah. And actually the street we lived on still has a little bit of that element.
Sure.
But in the entire block, we were like the only person except for a World War II holdout. This Polish guy that was across the street used to have a pawn shop. He was the only other one who lived on our street. He closed his pawn shop because he used to get robbed like every day. And
it's horrible.
My wedding ring.
It's from him?
I bought from him.
Nice.
He had all the rings. He had these gorgeous rings. He had them in a safe in the basement. He sold a pair of 24 karat gold rings. $60.
That's so.
You know,
great.
it was like perfect. So
that is perfect.
But when we first moved there, obviously, you know, there was different issues. So, you know, I was mentioning how we had the drug dealers.
Yep.
Out front. First weekend I'm there, I go over to the motorcycle club, knock on the door. It's kind of funny. It was all like pretty much Puerto Rican black guys.
Right.
Ladies were in the motorcycle club. I knock on the door. I'm kind of going a little bit off, but it's a funny story. I knock on the door. Little window opens. Door shuts and you can hear in the background, who the hell is this white boy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's our new neighbor. I go in and I talk to them and I'm like, hey, what about these drug, you know, dealers? Naive white boy.
Yeah.
Coming into the hood, let's say.
Right.
You know, I realize later, I'm like, oh, they're dealing too.
Sure.
You know? But in terms of the education part, like, you know, they didn't help me out in terms of the drug dealer. So one day, you know, I mean, again, they're literally on my stoop. I come out.
That's actually surprising they didn't.
Yeah, they were. Well, there were a couple other. I could talk for a couple hours about stories that were involved there. There was some situations with intimidation. There was corrupt cops that we ran into.
Yeah, yeah.
So one day, I'm like, you know, it's probably about a month later. They're still sitting on our steps. And it was younger. It was, I think, like the older guys that were kind of involved because there was a pool hall across the street. They saw that we were there. They didn't want to really have issues. I saw them go over there. But it was the younger boys who still were, like, there. They were, like, basically, you know, they wouldn't move. So one day I just sit down with them. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? You know, you guys know I live here. You know, not being confrontational or anything. And, like, you know, the gist of it, it was basically I was like, look, I know what you guys are doing. I'm not going to call the cops on you or anything like that. But if you're going to do it on my steps, it's an issue. So I know you guys hang at the pool hall. If you could just do me a favor and we can work together here.
Right.
Go across the street and do it. Not going to be an issue here. But if you do it right here, I'm telling you right now, you're going to have an issue.
Right.
You know, I'm going to, you know, call the cops on you or whatever, or do whatever I feel I can try to do to disrupt this.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
So you guys want to make it hard on yourselves, or do you guys just want to work with me? We can work as a neighborhood, basically. And they basically are like, right there, we're just like, okay. And they walked across the street, never really had an issue with them directly, you know, the whole time there.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, fast forward to a year or two after that happened, I'm at like some fundraiser in Philly at like the Kimmel Center or something.
It's, sure.
I forget what it was for, but, you know, a lot of like, I'm sitting at a table with, you know, well-to-do people who, you know, contribute to all these different things. And
right.
One person, I was telling them this story. And they were just like, well, how were you able to do that? I was like, I just treated them like people.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't treat them like drug dealers or this, you know, or whatever.
You weren't threatening them. You
yeah,
weren't
I
being
just
a
was
douche.
Like, I
you
was like,
just
person to person. That's how I talked to them.
Right.
And it was like, you know, maybe there's, I know there was probably some people there, like some of the dealers that probably would not have responded that way. Maybe I got lucky that day or what, but
sure.
It was just like, start off person to person. Don't start off being like, you this, you that, you know, blah, blah, you know, whatever, you know, and then it
Instead
becomes confrontational.
Instead of being the authoritative figure, you just showed up as a figure.
Yes.
As a person.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I think with what you're saying with the first responders,
that's exactly what I'm trying to help them do. In fact, I was talking to the sheriff And he said to me, he was like, hey man, you know what you're doing? And I was like, what am I doing? He's like, you're creating a PR platform.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. And I found that to be really interesting because which kind of leads into like what we're going to try to actually do next. And like one of our next moves in terms of really getting First Responders Live out there as a name is help departments tell their story.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that's the I've heard that comment like, oh, you guys are like public relations. I've heard that a few times and I kind of fought it a little bit, but I was like, no, that's great. They're right. People are told that's exactly what we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're absolutely trying to help improve relationships, improve image, help them get to know that's PR, man.
Yeah.
Public relations through and through.
Yeah, yeah.
So
not only public relations, I think it's telling the truth of these people. You know what I mean?
That's PR in a way. That's honest PR.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we're doing. We're not doing that dishonest PR.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, because there's a book, this is off note, kind of, along that lines of, like, we're being honest. There is a part of some PR books. I've read some PR books. One of them by this guy, Dr. Larry Litwin. He's actually a professor at Rowan, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I read his book. One of the words he threw in there a lot that I thought was real weird is manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
Use that word like it was nothing.
Yeah.
Put in a book for public relations.
Mm-hmm.
I found that to be super, super weird.
Yeah, yeah.
So I dated this girl who was a public relations girl back in college. I liked her a lot. She's really smart. She was a beast.
Mm-hmm.
Chick was definitely... She's going to be successful. There's no doubt. I think she's like a VP somewhere right now. She's killing it.
Uh-huh.
But there's one thing that I learned, okay? And when you go through, I think, like, some public relations courses, you learn that word manipulation very well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I learned that there's not too many... There's got to be a better way to do public relations. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There's got to be a better way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for police, they need that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even really have a public relations strategy. Maybe some of the bigger cities do.
Yeah, yeah.
But for a lot of these smaller cities and these smaller towns and such, they don't really have a good... public relations strategy.
Yeah, and I would say, you know,
I think normally, we can help them.
Yeah, because normally when you hear in the news, when you know it's
another guy got shot, another guy shot, got attacked, you know, another guy got jumped, you know whatever, another baton hit a head.
You know, the Starbucks thing.
The Starbucks, well, yeah, yeah. Man, Starbucks killed themselves. I don't want to get into that.
Yeah,
though.
I'm just saying, you know, locally, they killed themselves. You know,
because the police didn't do anything wrong.
Right, right, right.
And then people are like, what is Starbucks doing? Like, they knee-jerk reaction, killing themselves.
Well, that's that was their...
They messed up.
Public relations.
Yeah, they tried manipulating some shit, and it didn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
The police were just like, dude, we just showed up.
Uh-huh.
We didn't even give these guys a hard time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know. That was a weird situation overall.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, that guy at Starbucks was totally racist. Totally. The dude that called it on him, 100%. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah,
I agree that guy was racist.
Yeah, yeah.
The two black dudes were doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the police just showed up. They didn't really give him a heart to, like, look, we got to take you out, man.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, like, we're not. And they're like, all right, whatever. Like, they just went out. Like this is weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And the cops let him go. Like, they weren't going to, like, do anything to them.
Yeah, yeah. Because
it was just a stupid situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the kind of shit that you hear a lot about.
Yeah.
You don't get the full story. Now, are there, again... Are there videos that are put out on social media of cops doing wrong and bad? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Am I saying that all of them are good? Absolutely not. But am I saying that things can be better? Totally.
Sure.
Why the hell would... That's another thing. I don't get why people always go to the negative with things.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't
get
that.
Yeah.
Some people. Not all people. Some people. There's good things out there. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's like, yeah, the bad apple in the bunch. And that's the whole thing, you know? It's like... I mean, even on the business side, you know.
I can give you an example, too. But keep
yeah,
going,
but,
sorry.
Like, you know, my wife, she owns a business. I own a business.
Yep.
And if I find ourselves, our conversations here at home, probably focus more on the, you know, the bad.
The negative.
The client who walked in and said something. You're like, what? You know, or something crazy happens, you know. But that's, like, you know, 5% of the time is that. The other 95% is,
had this great lady that came in.
Yeah.
she bought some stuff or she did this service. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
She was wonderful, you know? Yeah. Like, I like hearing those stories. But the great example of, like, the negative, there was a – and this is actually a good example of PR, I think, or just, like, an article that was written in a headline that was obviously created to cause controversy. It said 10% of millennials don't tip their servers.
Okay.
So that means 90% do.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Just from that weird thing. But they chose that negative to stir controversy.
Right. Well,
cause a divide, a rift.
Yeah, yeah. And they just said millennials. I bet you could say 10% of the whole population.
100%. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't tip their servers. But no, they said millennials. And they said 10%, not 90. They didn't focus on the good.
Focus on the bad. Which always is, like, you know, again, is that
blood, right? It's blood cells. That's one of the sex and blood cells.
Sure.
That's what you hear a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I spoke to some professionals in the PR area or who are in media. Blood cells or sex cells, right? I mean, everyone knows that. You don't have to be a genius to know that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I personally think that when you have a naturally entertaining job, something that people are naturally always wondering about, that's their safety, I think you have something compelling.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I think that police and government have been ignoring it for way too long.
Yeah.
And firefighters. Well, I'm trying to help firefighters too, by the
way.
Yeah,
and first responders. So
first responders,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. But police are definitely my target right now for trying to help them out. But
you do EMTs as well, I'm assuming?
No, EMTs, no way.
No? Okay.
Nope. HIPAA.
Okay.
HIPAA, all day.
I got you.
No way.
Okay.
So, great question, though.
Yeah.
But, so, I think that there's a way. And I was actually explaining this to a government official the other day. Again, I'm not going to say his name, but the guy really liked it. But I didn't talk to him about it, about this or anything like that. So, I spoke with him, though, and I told him about the idea. He's like, yeah, that's a great idea. And I was like, check this out. It'd be really good for you, too, on government side, because you can put out information to the public to inform them of things that you never would be able to before.
Yeah.
Probably quicker.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, oh, man, that's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, right, there's benefits. Something like this, there's benefits for everyone.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could tell you, I'm involved in two commissions here in
town.
Yes,
sir.
And so, we have monthly meetings and all that. And I've even said, like, oh, well, why don't we do, you know, a Facebook Live thing or something like that? And, you know, there was some resistance. That's
people,
you know,
are afraid of the authenticity or putting their faces out there.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, for me, I'm like, again, we're actually acting as public officials. So the public is allowed to be here. Why not put it on there? Because people want to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, go back to that town page. People are asking, well, what about the sirens? Or what about this? Or what about that? You know, they're on that
constantly
page to find out stuff. So it's like, yeah, it surprises me a little bit that there's resistance to that. But it's also understandable.
It's understandable because I was speaking to Camden about this. There's one officer over there in particular who is using our product right now, and we're making some updates and we're sending it to him. But that's not relevant. We're talking to him a couple weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and in the meeting, I asked him how he's using it and why he isn't using it the way that I had suggested. And he's like, could you tell me again what you suggested? Told him again, live stream from the vehicle, get a guy on there that you can trust,
mm-hmm.
he knows responsible, who isn't going to say anything stupid, who's not going to be a douche, get him on that camera and let him give some updates.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh man, that's innovative. Literally said that.
Mm-hmm.
His words.
Yeah.
And he also said, you're going to have to get in touch with the Attorney General before you can move forward with that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he put me to this, like, insane challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So I contacted the Attorney General. I didn't, actually. I put up a post asking my LinkedIn contacts, like, hey, can anybody give me an introduction?
Yeah, yeah.
I got a message from a mentor of mine. This guy is the man. I respect this dude so much. His name is Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Jason from Logan, Ohio, and then we have Justin. Uh-huh. It's so confusing sometimes, too. But anyway, so Justin.
Wait till you get a little bit older.
Yeah, yeah, right? So Justin is a police officer. I'm not going to give too much more details on that because, again, I don't know, you know, whole thing of, like, privacy or whatever, but he said to me, he's like, dude, I sent your post away to the Attorney General's office, see if I can get you a meeting.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck yeah. Right? I was like, yes, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
So he got the meeting. And we had a call with this, the right-hand man for community relations to the Attorney General of New Jersey. That guy loved it. He loved what we're doing First Responders Live. He was like, this is great. He's like, I love the idea. It sounds awesome. He's like, we got to have a follow-up meeting. He's like, send me all the materials that you have, anything that can help me pass along to people or whatever. I was like, okay, cool. So I did. And hopefully, next month, July, a couple weeks, hopefully we'll have another meeting set up where you can get this ball rolling, right? Maybe partner with them. I would like that, personally. That's a goal, right? Yeah, yeah. Putting it out there now, I guess, to the world.
Yeah,
I would like to partner with New Jersey's Attorney General.
Make it happen,
world.
I mean, sure. I don't know if you can even speak about it, but, like, what's...
What does that look like?
What does... why does the Attorney General have to get involved? What is, I mean, I'm assuming it's obviously a legal thing.
100% legal thing, but here's the other part of it too, right? So there's rules that come with managing. This is on the side of like business now and the software and building and everything. There's rules of how even these body cameras have rules set on how long videos can be held.
Okay.
When they can be deleted.
Oh, I work with a security consultant with casinos. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a certain amount of time that they're supposed to be safe. Yep.
So that's why go to the Attorney General. Since we're doing something that is not like a body camera, that is not like a dashboard camera, nothing out there is like what we're doing. There's no laws around it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go talk to the Attorney General. We're going to go work with them.
Yeah.
And if we become compliant with the state of New Jersey, we're going to be compliant with like 90% of the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're so strict here.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So, and strict meaning thorough. I'm going to put that out there. They're very thorough.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly.
I mean, I could say, like, with my business.
Yeah.
The building codes.
Yeah.
Like, there's only a few number of states that have their own version of the building. The building code we work out of is International Building Code.
Okay.
State of New Jersey has their own version of it.
Cool.
You know, so it's probably, like, a very similar thing.
Yep. That you're saying here. We're going to have to... We are absolutely going to have to come up with something that's new and different. And again, this whole thing, not my words, but I love saying it, innovative. I think it is. And I think it's genuinely something that society needs. And one of my partners said, you know, Steve Jobs once said that people don't know what they want or what they need sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
So hopefully we're hitting that nerve where it's like when you hear it and you hear what we're doing, you're like, I can see that we do need that. It hits a nerve. It hits something inside of the heart and soul where they're like, we do need that.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, I would like to tune in sometimes and check it out.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing wrong with that. Uh-huh. Right? Like, you're supposed to want that.
Yeah, no, I remember I think it was probably the same officer from Camden.
Yeah.
He was there was a video I saw from you of, like, I guess they were setting up for some type of festival.
Yep.
And he was walking around.
Yep.
So I watched like the whole thing. I was like, this is cool here, you know?
That's my man.
Yeah, yeah.
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 That's right. He's using our product.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Cool.
Yeah, it's it, right? Like, that's the guy. It's Lieutenant James. Like, he's a really good dude.
Mm-hmm.
He really is. And he genuinely wants to help out Camden, right?
Yeah.
In fact, I'd say almost that entire department, a lot of the guys that go in there, they do want to help. Yeah, they want jobs, okay? They're regular dudes too,
right?
They want jobs. They want to get paid, but they also want to help, okay? That's the bottom line. Their chief is the president of the Police Executive Research Forum of the nation.
Yeah.
Their chief is that guy.
Mm-hmm.
They want to help.
Yeah.
They obviously have good police officers there now.
Mm-hmm.
They had to tear down the entire department. I don't know if you know that or not.
What, the Cam?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. It's a county department now, right? It's not the city.
Got taken out. Yeah, it's not the city. It's county. Yeah, yeah. But the reason why is because of the corruption that was in the department.
Yeah.
They kept some guys from the original department because they're good dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Kept them around.
Yeah.
They're in leadership positions now. I mean, I'm not going to drop names again because I think that's unfair. But they did...
Slide
good
a little bit.
Stuff.
I just realized you're out of the...
We're
kind of getting comfortable here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. here. Because I do want to... But, like, yeah, it's like... I think it's important. I think it's a driving force for me, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not going to happen right away. I'm not going to make money off of this thing right away. I mean, obviously. My God. It is a struggle. It's a pain in the ass not having money coming in, but... I always remind myself, you're not doing this for money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not.
And I think if you lead with whatever you're doing, if you're leading with that, rather than saying you're doing it for the money, that's how you're going to be successful in the long run.
I hope so.
You know, and you have the patience.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to practice good patience. And you know what? I kind of like channel my, so I do jujitsu. Right. I mean, you do jujitsu as well. I mean, like it's a,
not recently, but yeah.
But you, yeah. You do jujitsu.
Yeah.
So it's to me, so I grew up doing, I wrestled and I did karate and, you know, combat sports my whole life. And I also played baseball. I love baseball too.
Mm-hmm.
Philly's doing well. Can't believe it.
You see my post today?
Holy shit. No.
Today's,
yeah, oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I
the
did.
Record? Yeah. 41-33. I was like, yeah, all right, hey! Right now. Super Bowl!
1.5 out, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, let's not get too off topic into sports, but man, oh, man, am I happy about that.
We'll do another one in a...
we'll do another one. We'll talk about sports.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I look at it in terms of, like, the patience factor and I kind of transition my what I see as right now, and I do struggle with it, you know, mentally. I think there's a true tax on your mental health when you're doing something like this.
Yeah.
And you're trying to make something succeed and you're failing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like you're failing a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And it sucks. Oh my God, man. I think you might know what that feels like, because
I absolutely do. Yeah.
I am 100% in there. I have cried about that before. I felt like a complete failure and mm-hmm. broken.
Yep.
But I was like, but I can't quit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I consider it a little bit of insanity, and I'm driven by a passion to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's obvious. So, but jiu-jitsu, for me, it's something I think I'm pretty good at. It's something that I enjoy, and it's almost like meditation. I don't think of anything when I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Just jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
Just protect your throat. Don't get choked out.
Yeah,
because in reality, dying is the thing that you should be most worried about in a way.
Right? Yeah.
So, like, it also brings in why I say that, because it's kind of weird, like, death, what are you saying that for? That's weird. It makes me uncomfortable.
I get it. Yeah.
But, like, for anyone who doesn't understand, it's because that's human.
Yeah.
We're animals. We're just that. At the end of the day, we're very spoiled with what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be grateful for what we live for every day.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm grateful. I said this to my girlfriend the other day. The best decision and move I ever made in my life was going after her to date her. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah.
Right? I love her.
Mm-hmm.
She is it. And another great move was staying in sports and finding a creative side to myself that I am expressing more. Those are other things that I'm also very grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
I found I'm a very good public speaker. So I really enjoy doing that as well, like giving presentations.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things that I find for myself, and I'm beginning to realize more and more that I have talents for and with, that kind of allow me to realize I'm not a complete failure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I think
you
that's
know,
something I'm struggling
it,
with, though.
It, well, it goes back to that 10, you know, the bad apple, the 10%, 90%.
That's right, man.
You focus on
that little bit.
Yeah. But then you got all this other stuff.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
It's like, even like, you know, I have a bad day and, you know, we were here. I don't know how much the video, I mean, you can kind of see the tree line, but we were walking my property here. You know?
Man, is it gorgeous.
Yeah. And like, I sit here some days and I'm like, I'll go, like I go over here to where I have my chickens.
Chickens, baby. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm putting them in at night. And I just walk over and I look back and I'm like, damn, this is nice. You know, like, I don't really, like, I'm not grateful for what I already have. You know, I'm focused on, again, that little tiny bit. So,
yep. This is beautiful.
Thank you.
What you guys have here, what your family, what you've done.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Right? Seriously. And your dog is right there.
He's sleeping. But yeah.
It's amazing, though.
Yeah. My other one, who's kind of nuts, is not barking
it's
upstairs.
Amazing,
so,
though.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, this is an American dream.
Yeah, yeah.
Right here. Right? Like, mm-hmm. you have time, and you're able to, you're kind of like taking control of your life in a way even more as you get older and older, right?
Yeah.
Taking more control of your life
mm-hmm.
and yourself, and you're doing podcasts, not for fun,
mm-hmm.
relaxing with it, talking to people.
Yeah.
This is great.
Little bit of business, you know, probably with it too, but you
sure,
know.
I mean,
but
whatever.
But I'm trying to tell my truth.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
The authenticity portion,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's important, I think, to remember that sometimes when I'm on this journey, right? I'm like, not only am I trying to help first responders and, like, you know, government get a little bit more transparent and authentic, I'm doing it myself.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is that connection there between, to bring it back a little bit to that connection between first responders and Project Refit, it's all about the authenticity and becoming a little bit more vulnerable
mm-hmm.
to gain a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And for Project Refit, it's helping veterans maybe realize that if they get vulnerable with their emotions inside and they kind of let it out a little bit, mm-hmm. that the thing that they're going to get back in triple fold is their mental health.
Sure.
And to be a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah, and if they, right? And hopefully they, if they
and
feel
heal
like,
a little bit.
Yeah, no, if they feel like they're dealing with this by themselves, they're not. You know, there's a group. There's,
no longer
there's a
fight
family.
Alone. That's yeah, yeah. the that's I have it on the back of his shirt. That's
yeah, yeah.
our thing. No longer fight alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop fighting alone, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And first responders live, if police and if firefighters, if they get a little bit more vulnerable and a little more transparent and authentic,
mm-hmm.
they will have, I believe, and it's already been proven, right, through Jason's experience with arresting a guy, we're
yeah, yeah,
better.
Yeah. yeah.
You'll have safer interactions.
Mm-hmm.
People will know you better, and you'll be able to distribute information to citizens quicker.
Yeah, yeah.
In a more effective manner.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. I think we'll try to wrap this up. But before,
yeah,
two things before we wrap this up.
Yeah.
One, being that I'm an architect.
Okay.
I want this is like my guest question. I
sure.
Want. What is an experience that you had that you can think of that architecture is related to that? Whether, you know, it was something you were like, whether you walked into a building that was like, you know, like, oh, wow, this building's fantastic, or something, you know, something that improved your experience.
I can give you so many, actually.
I'm sure. Everybody's in buildings every day. So
yeah. The reason why, though, too, is because, so I mentioned a little bit ago, like, I'm kind of like getting in touch more with my creative side.
Yeah.
I'm a really creative. I paint, I draw, I do all of it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I enjoy it. Right? I like computer graphic design as well. And I love it. I shouldn't say I like it. I love it. So even when I look at buildings, I love a beautifully crafted building because it is a work of art.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So one of my favorites I've ever seen, I will never forget it, was actually the Barcelona airport.
Okay.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
The reason why is I think they captured in the airport airflow in the building, in the rooftop,
mm-hmm.
right, in the ceilings.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I meant by that is it swayed, like curved up and down. Like,
mm-hmm.
for whoever's listening to this, imagine like a sound wave that's very smooth, right? Or like or imagine like the air flowing, right? Like how people
mm-hmm.
do those nice drawn, like up and down hilly kind of like lines. They made that beautifully and perfectly in
mm-hmm.
the ceiling. It was amazing.
Was the like the environment itself? Like,
it's,
I'm not
open.
Yeah.
It was open. It was an airport.
Yeah, yeah.
But they captured, I think, that it was an airport with the ceiling,
100%. Uh-huh. Great, great. Cool.
It was beautiful.
Awesome.
What's the second question?
Second question is, like, every episode I do some music, so I'd like you to pick a song that I could play at my end segment. Song or group, and then we can figure out a song later, you know.
I think... I would like In the Presence of Wolves.
Okay.
Is the band. They're a local band here in South Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I went to high school, actually, with the guys, with two of them that are in the band. And their song, I think it's Gorilla and the Ape.
Gorilla and the Ape.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or White Noise. One of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
All
I'll,
right.
I'll get that up on a separate segment. Put
Sick.
Them on, and they're on Spotify.
Yeah,
I assume. Okay,
I
cool.
believe so. If they're not,
yeah.
let's have a backup. So, Coming Home by Asking Alexandria.
Okay.
I'll send that to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We'll check it out
cool.
after this. All right. Well, James, appreciate it, man.
You know it, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm always here.
So cool, cool. All right, guys. We will. We'll finish here on, yeah, just about a little bit longer than normal, but we'll see you guys next time. All right, see ya.
Bye.
So I gotta say that was a real good episode there, time with James, speaking about his different projects with, or different businesses there. His Project Refit
and First Responders Live. So here is one of the songs that he had mentioned in the podcast from Asking Alexandria. This song is called Someone Somewhere. And I'm gonna let this play, and then I'm gonna switch over to the other one for In the Presence of Wolves as well. So let this run for about 30 seconds. Give me 1 second. All right, this is White Noise by In the Presence of Wolves.